Welcome back. I, Paula Gordon, Bill Russell, Daniel Levitin are talking about music, the brain, the human experience, evolution. One of the reasons that I say I'm born at the right time is because I have...
Were you born under a bad sign?
I don't know. No, obviously not. Had I been born before Darwin brought together a lot of ideas at a very particular time that then
you
became,
would have brought them together.
It was somebody would have.
Yeah.
It would have been a process that would have emerged differently, which is part of what is such fun about the music you keep you, which is your early experience, that you were an instrumentalist, that you were a producer, that you were able to slide those slides and earlier would have potted those pots.
Yeah.
Being able to look at things at this moment in time both says lots about where we've come from and lots about how huge the opportunities are if we will put them to good purpose rather than evil purpose. There is so much more, both in terms of music and in terms of what there is to be learned about the brain.
You talked about being born at the right time, and I wondered if John Lennon had been born, say, in 1985 rather than in 1940, what would he have done? Would he be known as a painter? Was an artist, or would he be known as a musician? And if a musician, what would he have done? Have you thought about that?
Well, you just thought about the White Album being 40 years old.
I think that Lennon's creativity and fame was in part that he had this innate musical genius, but it was also that what he had to offer musically was just what we all wanted to hear at that time. And I think whether you want to talk about Picasso or Buffano, the sculptor, or Lennon, or any number of artists, there is this interplay between timing and ideas where the world has to be ready for what they have to contribute. They're absorbing what's going on in the world and filtering it through their own sensibility and putting it back out. And I wondered if Lennon had been born in 85, you know, if he would have found his way in the musical world. And I was imagining maybe he'd be doing mashups.
This goes to the context question. Music, particularly popular music, because of the way it's evolved, is so much a function of the context.
What you make me think of is Tom Stoppard, who is a playwright who we had the privilege of watching Acadia on the London stage with all the people who literally had invented the study of complexity.
Yeah.
Watching Stoppard describing when a girl who was not born at the right time and who... And it's a magnificent look at what context has to do with any kind of an output. If you hadn't been under your mama's grand piano feeling all of that great stuff when you were 2 and 3 and 4, you would have perhaps gone another way as well.
Yeah, I write in the book about my earliest musical memory as being lying under the grand piano as my mother played and watching her feet go up and down on the pedals. And being underneath the piano was extraordinary because the sound is coming from all directions.
That's surround sound, isn't
it? Yeah, that's surround sound, baby. And Sting told me that he had a similar experience of his mother playing the piano and watching her legs go up and down. And he found it, in his case, he found it very sexually arousing as a youngster.
That's a little alarming.
I didn't have that.
But I really
That's why you're here and he's not.
Yeah, well, he's Sting, after all.
This music, we've talked around music. We've talked about the brain part of it, but you're studying music, and it's the music that is essentially to us the soundtracks of our lives.
Yeah,
particularly rock and roll. You tell a story about an owl, a wired owl, which I think is just a remarkable story going to the physiology. You talk about a conversation you had with Joni Mitchell.
That's where I wanted to go too. Thanks.
Which takes that from physiology to extreme creativity. And you also talk about, you did something that I've been desperately wanting somebody to do and didn't know who to ask, what you call straight ahead jazz, the basic jazz format, what it is.
Yeah.
And sometimes naming things, the language, helps us better appreciate, understand, and enjoy.
Okay, Dr. Levitin, that would be the owl, Joni Mitchell, and straight ahead jazz.
What do they have in common?
Well, the owl story has to do with how music is represented in the brain. And I guess I'll leave that for the readers.
As an exercise, that's what Bill does to me all the time.
But music is represented very directly in the brain, and it's a fascinating story. Joni, in fact, the owl story has to do with how the fundamental of an overtone series is represented in the brain, even when it's not there. And we discovered this through the auditory system of vowels, which is quite similar to the human auditory system. And by analogy or by coincidence, Joni spent her career not really knowing anything about music theory, but yet writing this very complex music, something like Paul McCartney, who doesn't read music, but you know comes up with all these great orchestral parts. And she never knew what the root of the chord was, which is similar to the fundamental missing fundamental frequency. But she knew that she didn't like it. She didn't like it when bass players played it. And her partnership with Jaco Pastorius, which tragically ended when he died, really gave her an opportunity to explore more advanced harmonic context for her music, because he didn't play the root. He didn't feel compelled to anchor her chords in a single interpretation. And by his choice of notes, he opened up a number of, you know, exponentially expanding possibilities for how her music can be interpreted. It's such that during that period when she was with him, you can listen to the music many, many times over and get something new out of it each time. And one of the extraordinary things about her, you mentioned her remarkable creativity, is her the way she thinks about emotions. I was talking to her just a couple of weeks ago on the phone about a problem that I'm having with a colleague at work. And, you know, we were in some sort of administrative spat about something, and I was all upset about it.
So you called Joni Mitchell, of course.
Well, we were talking about my next book, in fact, uh-huh. And she asked me how things were going at work, and I said, well, you know, and I said, and I kind of exploded at this person, and I regret it, because, you know, I wanted to control my emotions better. And she said, why in the hell would you want to do that? And I said, what do you mean? She says, you don't want to control your emotions. That's exactly the wrong thing to do. You want to live them. And I realized, you know, she lives in a different world than the rest of us who have to control our emotions to get along.
And she put them into songs.
Yeah. As an artist, she not only doesn't have to do that, but you don't want her to.
She's also a visual artist as well as a musical artist.
She's a fantastic painter.
Mm-hmm. Jamshed Barucha, whom you cite, was the first person that introduced me to this notion of the importance of predictability, of pattern.
Expectation.
And
violating it.
And surprise.
Yeah.
And Joni Mitchell is in some ways musically at the far end of that. But that again seems to me elemental in the human experience. It's not just music, but music is the best representation.
Can you do straight ahead jazz in 30 seconds?
The format for straight ahead jazz is that they typically take a song and they play it more or less straight. They might jazz up the rhythm. So it might be All of Me. Why not take all of me, right? And then and it could be, you know, instrumental. And they go through that once or twice, and then they solo on it, taking the same chords but playing around with the melody. So they might go. Right? And they're playing around, and if you can keep the melody in your head while they're doing all this other stuff, you hear a relationship that plays on your sense of expectation and violation. But your job is to hold that melody in there so that you can make sense out of what the soloist is doing.
And your job is to be with us when we return in just a moment.